rise up and walk. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The Christian life is a blessed life, beholding the glory and power of God working in and through our lives as we yield ourselves to His leading, to His guidance. We experience a most wonderful life, a life worth living. The peace of God flowing through our hearts and the presence of God's power giving us strength to live this life and living it with a purpose, with a sense of purpose daily through life. You know where you are going on this journey. A blessed journey to our heavenly home, which Jesus had gone ahead to prepare for us. Yesterday, we were with our youth for youth fellowship, and we were studying Revelation chapter 5. And we were brought to the throne room of God, where we see the saints with God in the worship of God. A most blessed scenario that God gave us a glimpse. He showed to us in Revelation chapter 4. And then Revelation chapter 5. There we see the camera zooming in from the throne to the right hand of Him who was holding a scroll. And on this scroll is written the judgment of God upon mankind that is to be meted out in the great tribulation. Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 19, we see a glimpse of the quiet in heaven before the torrent of God's judgment upon planet Earth. And as we study this, we realize that indeed, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draweth nigh. And the only safety for God's people is to be there at that throne room. That is the command center of the universe. You know, we said to our youth that it is there where every decision in the life of men and women is taken by God. And all the things that happen upon planet Earth, well, that is the command center. And you'd want to be there in the very presence of God, under the protection of God, before the judgment would come upon planet Earth. And the Lord wants us to have our spiritual sight open to see the nearness of His coming. And the Bible tells us that Singapore, this little island, would be destroyed in a time to come. Ah, what grave warning to the people of God. Revelation chapter 16, verse 20, it says, "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. The judgment to come, grave, severe, and it causes us to think, what are we doing with our lives today? Are you preparing yourself to be there in heaven with God? The pink dot movement. We had our meetings yesterday. It is a sign that we are living in the last days, living in the days of Sodom. Judgment is nigh when men and women flaunt the basic family structure of one man and one woman. We're going to spend time dwelling on the Christian home, the family. Why is it so important? It is most pertinent during our time when men and women, society is turning away from the basic order that God has given to mankind for His proliferation. It was so during the time of Abraham, when God warned him that fire and brimstone is going to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And God told him that this is going to be grave. And he prayed. He prayed for his nephew Lot. He knew that his nephew is lost in Sodom, trying to make a day's gain sitting at the gates of Sodom. He knew that God's judgment is to come. And he pleaded with God as we see the proliferation of the days of Sodom here. We want us to realize that if this continues, is allowed to proliferate in a generation, the order of creation or the order of God in procreation will be severely threatened. And as man goes on that road to self-destruction, we see that it is indeed very sad. And it is also a precursor to tell us that when men turn in such a public way, judgment is nigh. Let us realize that it is no laughing matter. And, you know, the focus of chapter 5 zooms in on that scroll. And it tells us that God's judgment is going to be poured upon the anti-God, the atheist, the agnostics, every unbelieving, rebellious, sinful heart that is left on earth. And, you know, that focus on the seal was turned to the Lamb that was at the throne. Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. In His first coming, He came in order to save. He is that Lamb that will bring salvation to all mankind. But that Lamb, Revelation chapter 5 tells us, will come as a judge. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know, the lion is very ferocious. King of the jungle. Don't mess around with the lion. Christ is going to come as a judge. Why is Jesus the only one that is worthy? Heaven and earth, chapter 5 says, no one was worthy to open the seals, the seven seals, for the judgment to come upon planet earth. Because He is the Savior. And He has paid the price for our redemption. And therefore, He is that worthy judge also. He has provided us a way. And if we would reject Him, we know that there is no other way. There is none other name under heaven whereby we may be saved, except in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we want us to see, we want us to know that truly we are in the very tail end of human history, if you are still not told. And the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes even more precious, a truth to share with a dying world. How can we be children of God, doing the will of God? Three thoughts from our text in Acts chapter 3. Worshipping, verse 1 to 3. Witnessing, verse 4 to 7. And winning men for Christ, verse 8 to 10. You recall last week, we studied the marks of a true church. And we said that the church, the people of God, those who are born again, those who are saved, there is a persevering spirit in their hearts to the worship of God, to prayer, to fellowship. There is a thriving relationship with God. And we also said that they have a heart to share their lives with the people around them. And they are also a bunch of very happy people, right? Remember? Persevering saints, sharing saints, praising saints. And this is what we see as the mark of faith in the true church of Jesus Christ. As we survey the life of men and women in the early church, and we see the disciples doing just that. We see Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And our text records for us the first miracle in the book of Acts that God enabled the apostles to perform after the day of Pentecost. Verse 1. We see them going to the temple. At that time, the temple was still there. It was a living testimony of the presence of God. The temple in Jerusalem, the rebuilt temple, after it was destroyed, the first temple was destroyed during the time of Solomon. And you see Peter and John going to the temple. Verse 1 tells us, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And so you picture James and John as usual. Devotion, devoted to the worship of God. Now this is the mark of a true saint of God. Always wanting to have that communion with God in prayer, communion with God in His house, there is that affinity, there is that close relationship with the living God. And, you know, they wouldn't call that a routine, going to God's house to worship. No. They knew what it means to be in the presence of God. They understood the many needs of the people of God. And they want to be drawn to the presence of God to pray, not only for themselves, but for the people of God. You remember? Now the church is no longer 120 since Pentecost. God has added 3,000 to the church. And by the time this episode would end, with the saving of this lame man, the church is going to be expanded by another 2,000. So 5,000 within a very short span of time. The Spirit of God will work to manifest His power to authenticate this message of the Messiahship of Jesus Christ, this man who was crucified at Golgotha, in Calvary. He is the Christ. Believing in Him, you will find life, you will find salvation, you will find eternal life. And this gate, beautiful, is the main gate to the temple of God. It is situated on the eastern part of what we call Herod's temple. Herod was an Edomite. Somehow he was able to gain power. And then with resources, he was able to rebuild the temple. And during the time of Christ, the temple was rebuilt in its glory. And the disciples had the opportunity to go. And this beautiful gate is the ninth gate in this temple. There are many gates that leads the people to the temple, but this is the main gate, the principal entrance into the temple, right? This gate called Beautiful. So I want us to imagine and, you know, understand what Peter and John was doing there, right? Going to have a blessed time of communion with God, doing the usual, right? The gate had 12 easy steps of ascent to the temple, right? So it's a huge gate, right? The gate itself was made of dazzling Corinthian brass, and it's richly ornamented, and it has two massive doors. Okay, today you don't see such massive structures, but you would imagine, all right, that this double door, right, needed as many as 20 strong men to open and close. And so we want us to see, you know, in this main gate, huge gate that leads to the temple of God. Right? And Peter and John making themselves available. It was 3 p.m., same time as our worship, afternoon time, right, that they would go. It's called the ninth hour. Right? The Jews observed stipulated hours of prayer. On the third hour, on the sixth hour, on the ninth hour. And Peter and John were observing this appointed time of communion with God that they met the lame man. You realize that as we spend time with God in worship, as you spend time with God communing with Him, you know, you find that God would bring people into your lives seeking help. And this was what happened to Peter and John. There at that gate, they saw this certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Acts 14:22 tells us that he's not a young man, someone who is in his 40s already. He had been lame since his birth. And we want us to picture a very sad scenario. Picture a very sad reality in human life, where you see, because of the fallenness of man, you see that this world is not perfect. Even the plants that we see, God cursed with thorns and thistles as a result of man's rebellion against their creator. And you see such imperfections in this world. And there they are, two converted fishermen, now wholly devoted to God, going to the temple, and they saw this lame man there. Verse 2 says that he was lame from the mother's womb, and they laid daily this man at the gate of the temple to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Those were the times when, you know, there were no wheelchairs, there were no designated places, special bars for the disabled. For a lame man to travel, he has to have a need of his friends, someone or some ones who were willing to carry him on a stretcher, bring him daily to that place where, you know, it's the busiest part of town. Jews and proselyte Jews would come for the worship of God. And there, perhaps, he may find help, that those who are passing by would throw a coin to him. So it's a very sad state of affairs for this man. As you look at him, didn't have any means of subsistence, and he couldn't walk, and he was there invalid. And so it was there that he met Peter and John. And verse 4 to 7, we want us to see a witnessing opportunity. You see, as we walk with God, as we draw close to God, you'll find that, you know, God is going to bring people into your lives. And as you see men and women coming into your lives, that you come in contact with, God would bring you to have the heart to share with them the way of life. Inadvertently, they would have some problem in life. But because God has made you whole, because God has blessed you with His truth, with His word, you are granted wisdom from the word of God to live life. To you, life is beautiful. But there at the gate, beautiful, you see this man in trouble. We see the not so beautiful part of life, the reality of life. And we want us to see that there is hope, there is help in Jesus Christ. That this Christ, that Messiah of Israel that was crucified, He's not dead and gone. But he, having been risen from the dead, appeared 40 days to his disciples, that he is alive, that he has conquered death, and that he has ascended to heaven, and that his power and his presence continue to be with them. Now you see that power raising this lame man so that he may receive strength in his feet to be able to walk. And the Lord wants us to see and understand the power of Jesus Christ. And this miracle was wrought in order for us to see that this is the living and true God. In Him is life. Without Him, no life. Did not John wrote, He is the light of the world. And He came into the world that was filled with darkness. And He provided that light that lighteth every man that comes into this world. This is the God of life that has nourished us, that has nourished Peter and John. They have understood this life with God. To them, absent in the body is present with the Lord. They understood eternal life. They understood what is life all about. And there, you see this man coming to them, asking an alms of them. Very sad. And verse 4 to 7, you see Peter's encounter with this man. Verse 4 says, And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. He understood that this is a golden opportunity for the gospel. And he gave full attention to this man. They were ready to share the truth with him. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So he managed to catch his attention, this man who, you know, could not move, but perhaps he could utter a word to stop Peter and John. Perhaps he used his hands to beckon unto them. He said, Have pity upon me. And you see Peter and John mindful of this gospel opportunity. Verse 6 says, Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Wow! Powerful testimony. I was visiting our dear sister here at a hospital, and I hear the testimony of an elderly pastor who shared the gospel with another man. He says that I shared with him. He was unable to walk, but as soon as he received Jesus Christ, he rose up and walked. I was surprised, he says. And, you know, for us it's an encouragement that indeed God does manifest His power to the efficacy of this gospel, that Jesus Christ indeed is able to save. And, you know, he says this man was wholly saved. He believed, and God glorified Himself that day when he rose up to walk. This was what Peter and John experienced that day. They saw the power of the living God, Jesus Christ, who promised them, right, who sent them by the Great Commission, that they are to go out, right, to make disciples. And Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. And this authority that Christ has was manifested so clearly. And he took him by the right hand, verse 7 says, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. How is it possible? Something must have taken place in the limbs, in the dead limbs of this lame man. Right? I said dead limbs because it has no strength to walk, to lift himself up. But suddenly, strength was imparted upon his limbs. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do you know who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth? This is the man that we have been studying for the last 2 years and 4 months in the Gospel of Matthew. This is the Messiah of the world. This is the Christ that the world needs at this time. Not pink dot. Men and women are going astray without the truth. The prophet Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ came in Isaiah 35 verses 5 to 6 of the Messiah that is going to come. This is the Christ. And he says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The prophecy of the coming Messiah. And when Jesus Christ came, what did he say? Matthew chapter 11. Will you turn there, please? Verse 4 to 6. Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 to 6. This is the Christ that Peter and John referred to, who came, and there was no need of a hospital in Israel at that time. At that time, John was in jail, and Jesus sent word to assure John that he is indeed the Christ. You believe in him, he will give you eternal life and strength for this life. Jesus answered and said unto them, will you read together with me? Matthew 11, 4 to 6. Matthew 11, 4 to 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The Lord wants us to renew our knowledge of this Christ. He is the power of God to save. Jesus Christ did not come to judge. In fact, he came to save. That is the purpose of his coming. And we are continuing that work since Pentecost to proclaim this Christ, that power to save. You know, we are a forgetful people. We forget who Jesus Christ is. We forget what this Christ is capable to do. This is the Creator. Can he not give strength to the limbs that he created? Of course he can. Can he not help his people? Of course he can. Why are we not trusting in him? We must trust in him. If we have any need, must we not go to him? He alone can save. He alone can help. This was what Peter and John did when he recommended Jesus Christ to this lame man. What did Peter and John say? Silver and gold have I none. Well, that is the last thing you need. But such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. No doctors could heal. No physicians could do anything. But Jesus Christ healed, because he's the giver of life. And he wanted to manifest his own glory. He wants us to see. And by the end of chapter 4, you would see another 2,000 souls saved by this miracle. When they saw this man leaping, jumping for joy, praising God. God wants us to renew our faith in him. As our text in Isaiah says, for in the desert, in the wilderness, shall waters break out. Wilderness is a place where, you know, the heat kills. Right? Without water, we die. But here, it is said that this Christ is the life giver. In the wilderness, in the deserts of life, he gives life. In the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Imagine the joy in the heart of the man, the joy in heaven, that this soul was gloriously saved, and the joy in the hearts of Peter and John, who took time to help the lame man. Notice that this man did not praise Peter and John, but he knew in his heart who saved him. Verse 8. Our third thought. Worshipping, witnessing, winning men for Christ. Verse 8 to 10. And he, the lame man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Indeed, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Do you realize the gospel opportunity that you have in Jesus Christ to do something good for the people around you? Peter and John are in that gate, beautiful, were partakers, who were partakers of the peace of the gospel, brought peace to the heart of this man. How beautiful the scene of God's presence with his people. You know, the Lord wants our hearts to be assured, to know that in Jesus Christ, there is no fear. We can rest assured in him because he's creator, he's sustainer. The maker can remake again. Will we trust in him? Will we continue to call upon him? Ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Have we not been asking? Have we not been seeking? Have we not been knocking? Peter and John and the rest of the disciples, they were very much in tune with God. And God confronted them with this gospel opportunity. How was the lame man saved? Not by silver and gold? Peter and John said to the man, they had none to offer him. But salvation in Jesus Christ is a free gift from God. It cannot be bought with money. Peter testified this. He wrote in 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19. Let's turn there as we conclude. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19. Let's read together if you are there. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Lord wants us to know that at the time when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was torn into two, exposing the inner temple, the Holy of Holies, showing to us that we can go to the very presence of God, to the throne room of God, to the mercy seat of God to receive help. For every need we have, will we not plead? Will we not call? Will God not answer? Surely the Lord would help. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:19-22. Worshipping, witnessing, winning souls for Christ. This is our blessed life in Christ Jesus. The souls that would be saved. The blessedness of that final reunion in heaven, where we would be at the throne room of God. You know, the world is going to be under judgment, and there is only one safety. The church would be taken to glory, and we need to be prepared. May the Lord help us to truly spend time in devotion to God as we worship Him, as we adore Him, as we bring our petitions and desires to Him. Would He not answer them? Jesus Himself says, He being a good father would be willing to give good things to His children. May we continue to trust Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for this beautiful episode of evangelism at the Gate Beautiful. We have been acquainted with the power of Christ. May this picture of that power kindle in us hope, kindle in us faith, kindle in us a strength to draw close to Jesus. O Lord, may Thou help us to be thrilled with our relationship with Christ. O Lord, may Thou renew every flagging relationship, every relationship that has become dull because of the vicissitudes of life's trials. O God, may Thou renew the faith of Thy people. Grant them strength again. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.